Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Daily Tech News Show for Thursday, December 27th, 2018, from DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from all the other places, we should all say a thing.
Yeah. man, I'm not used to it when there's like a 9-man rotation, but here we go. Hi, from Oakland, California, I'm Justin Robert Young.
Salt Lake City, I'm Scott Johnson.
Hey! And from Happy holidays, you guys. How was your Christmas?
I didn't even get to... put my name. My name's Roger Chang, and I'm the show's producer.
We're man. It's, you know, it's shaking off the rust from the big break we've been on.
It's as if we haven't done this every day for 4 years.
It's the pine needles. I have lots of pine needles on the carpet I need to vacuum up, and that's from last year's tree.
Well, I hope you all got lovely presents, ate lots of food, spent time with family, and are now avoiding that family while you listen to our end of 2018 predictions results episode. This is a fine tradition dating back to 2005 or 6 on Buzz Out Loud, where we not only make a predictions episode at the end of the year, but then the next year we hold ourselves accountable. We look back at the predictions we made about technology for 2018 at the end of 2017 and compare them to how they actually turned out. Friends, are you ready to judge each other's predictions?
I'm ready.
I'd like the term evaluate. It's less judgy.
Let's evaluate each other.
Yes. With love.
Sounds more judgy.
Now, when you are evaluating, you can give a yes, a no, or partial credit. And we're going to start with you, Scott Johnson. You predicted that an open source, by the way, I loved this prediction, an open source voice/life assistant would hit the market and shake up the walled gardens of Amazon, Google, etc.
I was sure that this was going to happen, that this was going to be the year. I'm still convinced it's a thing. I know of some open source things that are happening, but nothing took anything by storm or challenged the big now 5 or whatever it is voice assistants we're dealing with. So my prediction was twofold. It was not only would a smaller grassroots thing become a standard or get people excited and we would see some adoption, but it had another side to that sword, it was going to be something that made big companies maybe decide, well, maybe we don't want to be so exclusive about where our stuff is. You know, Google already puts OK Google on everything. I thought maybe Apple might be pressured to do something like that if this sort of third party thing came out of nowhere. And it didn't really happen. So I'm bummed because in years past, I think last year I did a lot better than this year. And this year, this one's already kind of a bust.
Well, Scott, what about, the assistants, at least in 2018, having opened themselves up to other platforms as far as AI assistants go?
Sorry, Sarah, go ahead.
I don't know. I hear Tom poo-pooing me already.
I'm going to stick up for you. I think that there has been more commingling than I thought there would be in the way that even Apple still looks at Siri is that is a Apple specific device. That is a privilege you get for having an Apple device is our voice assistant. And yet the most successful ones, there are now, although the Sonos doesn't fully have integrated Google and Alexa, right? But they promise to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything but Alexa, really. But no. But my point is, sure, no, this is not the open source idea that Scott had suggested a year ago. But it's definitely more open as far as cross-platform stuff than it had been in the past.
All right. No, hold on. Wait a minute. Tom, stop muling and just get your poo-pooing out in the open.
Give me a moment in edgewise and I will. Open is not what's going on. Like, actually not having walls up might be going on. Cortana working along with Amazon Voice Services is great. That's not open. That's two closed systems agreeing to work with each other. Having a big garden where all the walled gardens can be is not open. Open is when you're like, hey, I don't have to approve you to do something. You can just do it. All of these are still deals that are worked out with everybody. That's why I'm muling. And Scott also specified open source, which, by the way, there are open source assistants. There were even last year when he made this prediction, like Mycroft and Jasper, which is why I loved the prediction, because I would love one of those to get some traction and truly be open.
Yeah, and I thought one of those might be it. I remember thinking that one of these was just going to take fire, and I didn't know. The problem is I didn't know who's going to adopt it hardware-wise. The problem is all the exciting hardware that people are buying, all the devices people are buying, are brand names who also want to have their own assistant blow up. And in my head, I was thinking, well, we'd have a lot of other kinds of devices that come out that don't have a strategy for this, and they're going to need one. They're going to need an API, a plugin, a third party or something. And that didn't exactly happen. Instead, they adopted other big name stuff, in particular, mostly Google, but you saw a lot of Amazon integration and a lot of stuff. And you also saw some stuff happen with Cortana in a way that I didn't expect. So it's probably just a longer term prediction, because I do think at some point there'll be a third, or I keep saying third party, it's not what I mean, but there'll be an open source effort that's so good and so accurate and so wide ranging that it will make the others look bad. And that's why it'll take off. And that was kind of the other side of my prediction.
I didn't like this prediction when it was made, and I'm happy to dance on its grave now and forever, because for this reason, not because I don't think that you are right in your general want, but to me, the strength of open source programs in general are when there is a clear need, there is an answer to walled garden approaches that are either too complicated, too expensive, or too kludgy to use. That's where open source can always be freer, simpler, or more direct to the point. Right now, voice assistants are pretty well liked. People in general like their voice assistants. It's not all that pricey. In fact, Amazon's looking to figure out the cheapest possible way to get one into your house. So I think the other side of why it wouldn't be good, or why it's unlikely to me to be open source, is because that kind of stuff is expensive. It takes a lot of work to continue to make a voice assistant cutting edge. And that's something that is, I think, to the weakness of the open source community.
That's why what I would like Sarah Lane's comments to become true is if there really were an opening where someone said, hey, I'm making this great assistant and I want it to be truly open, not just using opening as a marketing term, but like anybody can write to it, run things on it, which, you know, Amazon does have a little bit of that with the Skills API. I'll grant them. So does Google. But like truly opening it up and allowing it to run without having to have prior approval, that would be my thing. Scott's other prediction was that Microsoft will hit a crossroads where they will have to decide to be all in on Xbox or get out. This is the year they decide that, Scott said last year, though it could take 5 years to see it happen, he also said.
Well, okay. I wish I could go back in time and slightly modify my comments so it still worked. But they didn't really do that. They are doubling down on Xbox, but they're doing it in such a way that it tethers it directly to the PC. I think Game Pass is the best subscription service in gaming right now. Yeah, you heard me say it. I'm usually pretty critical of Xbox and where they've been. But I think Game Pass is brilliant. It's growing, and I think it's going to keep growing. And I think they will likely end up with the first really mainstream premier Netflix for video game pie in the sky solution if they keep going. And that will feed both their Xbox side and reinvigorate their PC side, which they have let languish for years and fall into the hands like people like Valve and others. So I am now bullish on the future of Microsoft in gaming. It is not it somewhat came true in that it's not 100% Xbox. Where I was wrong is saying you've either got to go all in or not. It turns out you can kind of hybrid this thing, and there's a way to do it. Market conditions are right to support that. So yeah, wrong, but feeling good about where they're going.
Partial credit?
Partial credit. Give me a B, B minus.
Yeah, you got 30%.
30%. Thank you, man. There we go.
I award partial credit, but only because it seems like under Satya Nadella, they're always like on some totally vibrating opinion on what Microsoft, what Xbox's role in Microsoft has been. From the moment he came in, there were rumors that he didn't see a future in it and wanted to spin it off. And every day that he doesn't, I guess, is tacit approval that they have some faith in it. So I agree, partial credit.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Jen Cutter could not be with us, unfortunately, to talk about her predictions from last year. And we hope she's doing well. But Roger is going to step in and address her predictions from last year. The first one being that the Xbox One X would be the last Xbox.
And unfortunately, Microsoft, well, depending on which side of the debate you're standing on, disappointed or encouraged you, because they mentioned that they were working on the next generation of Xbox Scarlet. So the One X being the very last one, no, that did not come to pass.
Yeah, and not only that, they've all confirmed ideas like standalone Xbox devices that would be just streaming devices, boxes that would just be download to this box and play it here, no physical disc type solutions, possibly a flagship device that would be more traditional, you know, put discs in it and have huge capacity and all of that. Like, I think they've had a decision. I think a meeting happened. This goes back to Justin's comment. I don't think he's wrong about Satya Nadella's coming into the company and thinking, well, this may be the one weak thing we want to cut out at some point. And I think that they have come to an agreement with the direction they're going. And I think they've all been okay with it. And part of that is a strategy that includes future consoles, but maybe not in the way we're used to. Not giant leaps in technology, not the fastest machine on the market, but the best services tied to a machine that can run them on the market is what they're aiming for. I also think Sony has to aim for that. So I think they're right in line with what they need to be in line with, but it's definitely not their last Xbox.
Definitely not their last. And it's weird because, you know, there's always been a debate like, does Xbox a service or is it hardware? And, you know, as time rolls on, it's, you know, effectively both, right? It's both a living room computer or wherever you put the machine. But it is also a service. As, you know, I, as an Xbox One owner, I get pretty much, actually every game I got for the system, I got digitally from the Microsoft store. So there are no discs involved unless I'm watching a movie that I bought like 5 years ago. But it's really interesting because for the longest time, you know, ever since the 360, you know, was eclipsed by the Xbox, was that, you know, everyone had this opinion that Microsoft was very much just wandering the wilderness with the Xbox. Like, where do you want to go with it? Is it your all-in-one entertainment machine? Is it a video gaming machine? Is it, you know, what do you want it to be? And I think, you know, what you guys have been describing is like Microsoft just focusing up on what they actually want to do, what they want to accomplish with the machine, instead of just having, well, we need to be in this space, so let's have a competitor out there. In the same way, like, you know, Zune was like, well, you know, my Apple's in this, you know, music space. We need to offer something very similar. So let's just, you know, put together a product, service, push it out there, see who bites. Apparently no one, or not a lot. You know,
Xbox thought, and the Zune are not a good comparison because of the
still,
fate of the Zune.
People are still squirting. Someone's squirting their friend.
Somebody. And please stop. Jen's other prediction was that Canada would take a stronger stance on net neutrality.
And, you know, legally they have. They earlier this year, they enshrined, let me see if I make this bigger for everyone, in Parliament, net neutrality in the telecoms legislation. So that part has come to pass. However, as we know with all things, it's not the end of the debate, and telecom companies both in Canada and outside of it are still pushing to maybe have some modification of this law, and something that the CRTC, the Canadian version of the FCC, has not necessarily dismissed out of hand.
Now, as I, if I remember, Jen was saying, as the United States looks to roll back net neutrality, Canada will make it stronger. Sounds like that happened.
That happened. That part happened. But it's definitely still an ongoing story.
Yeah, but it's not, I think she gets credit.
I think that is a full point in my estimate.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Yeah, no, she nailed it. Good job, Jen Cutter. Woo-hoo. All right, let's move on to my own predictions. I will throw myself on the mercy of the court with this one because we recorded too early. Bitcoin was on a run.
heater.
At the time we recorded, I think it was probably around $10,000 per coin. And I said, Bitcoin's going to pass $15,000 next year. Well,
and lo and behold,
it did pass $15,000 by the end of December. So I think it was, in fact, at $15,000 when the year began. However, Sarah, as I think you were probably pointing towards, it certainly didn't stay there.
No, it sure didn't. And I know a lot of people whose IRAs have been a part of. Anyway, we won't neither here nor there. But yes, you're right. When you made this prediction, I mean, it was like, yeah, it's going to get to 15. It's definitely going to, and it did.
Well, and what was crazy is I thought it was on a trajectory to eventually hit 15. Like, I was like, yeah, it's going to keep going. It's going to hit 15. It might even go farther. And it spiked too fast. And then, of course, imploded to, you know, hitting around $3,000 towards the end of this year.
And there's even been some allegations now that there was price manipulation roughly a year ago when the buy phase of a Bitcoin was ongoing. That has always been one of the things that people have worried about. But certainly if
everything okay?
Yay. All right.
It's Sarah fell over.
Bitcoin.
Yeah. If the idea here was to show that Bitcoin was a robust, healthy financial option, then that does not seem to be warranting of a point.
Yeah, it's a letter of the law, a letter of the prediction, spirit of the prediction, sort of.
I'm into giving you the point, though. Look, I remember texting you a year ago when this was happening, and I'm like, you nailed it, dog.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, do I still get it if it happened before the year? So
I think you get extra. You get 2 points.
Justin gives it to me. All right. No objections from anyone else?
Take it, Tom.
Poor Russ.
Ooh.
Take your points.
I feel much better about the next one. And by the way, predictions, I've been doing prediction results shows for a long time. I generally don't get them right. So I'm very pleased with my performance this year. A viable password replacement will be launched by major tech companies. And in fact, Google launched its Titan Key, which is going to be available for consumers. And Microsoft announced passwordless accounts, both on the FIDO standard. So we actually got launches of both of these things. I didn't predict they would become massively adopted or how successful they would be, but they are there. And I honestly do think they are going to continue to get uptake, and we're on a slow train to a new way of logging in and authenticating.
No, 100%. I think you, I mean, we're not, you know, we're not 100% there, but I'm not even sure your prediction was that we'd be 100% there. It was more like we are going to make big strides here. And we did, or I say we, some standards have made big strides, and it's awesome because the stuff that has been described lately in terms of, I forgot the name of it, the one that Google was doing and they changed the name. Anyway, that one is really cool. Yes. Thank you. I want that, and I want it today. And I liked your prediction. I think Tom should get 9/10 credit.
Wait,
Why only 9/10?
I know. Like, well, he's like, that was great. 9 out of 10.
It's just not. It's just not in every hand on every device.
I didn't predict that it would be. I said a viable replacement will be launched. That's all I said.
Okay, fair enough. 10 out of 10. You can have your 10.
I'm only fighting so hard for it because I feel like this might be the first time I actually did predict something. Like, there's no hedging. Like, what I said actually happened. And
Don't worry, Scott. It's 10 now, but it'll be 15 by New Year's and then 3 a year later.
All right, Smarty Pants Justin Robert Young. Let's take a look at your predictions from last year. Starting with Fox will be bought by Disney. Disney will be bought by Apple. Oh, so close.
Yeah.
And Wolverine will appear in a Marvel movie. Now, technically, Fox has not closed its deal with Disney.
No.
But it is all but done at this point. We're just waiting for the clock to run out. So we probably would give you that portion of it.
Now, I will say that some of the spirit of what I was talking about is something that is now rumored to have come to pass. The reason why I thought that that the rest of Fox would be an acquisition target for Apple is that they continue to want to beef up what their TV service. Basically, they now the rumors that all the original content that they're going to be creating would be free in the TV app, which is already an aggregator. They like live things. And one of the things that the Justice Department, or I don't know if it's the Justice Department, but basically the federal government mandated that Disney could not have in the Fox acquisition were the regional sports networks that Fox owns.
Right.
Those are now apparently the apple of Amazon's eye. But the idea being that kind of content would land with a Silicon Valley company was, I think, where I was driving at. I got
hey
a
man,
little bit
hey man, if you're if you want to say like, oh, did I say Disney? I meant Warner. Oh, did I say Apple? I meant AT&T. You're in. You're in like Flynn.
I know. Look, go big or go home. And I've apparently decided to go home.
Well, don't go home yet. You have another prediction.
I know. I don't even remember it, but I'm sure it's terrible.
Wolverine definitely should appear in a Marvel movie, though. Though you didn't.
You know, I was banking on some kind of like tease little thing to kind of show off the merger, but since it's still not totally locked down, then you know, I think that's a little bit
well. I'm gonna say partial. We give Justin partial on this one. For Fox did get bought by Disney, even though it is not closed yet. That deal I think is acceptable. as
it was also a fairly moment. It was a fairly brave prediction at the time. A lot of people were poo-pooing it. I think I might even have thought you were a slightly bit crazy. I don't think the negotiations were even started, or we didn't know about it. This feels like a good strong win in his
It wound up becoming an 11th hour bidding war situation with Comcast coming in and buy them, and then Disney kind of staying the course.
Well, in fact, if Comcast hadn't moved in, you probably would have a lock solid. It probably would have closed by now. But
yeah,
there you go. The other one you suggested would happen this past year is that a driverless car would be approved and running in Pittsburgh as a test.
Man, I really no more specifics.
Right. If you'd said we'll be running somewhere as a test, yeah, you'd be in again.
Which, I don't know, is that even happening?
Waymo is doing its driverless cars. It does have human drivers on board.
Yeah,
but they are.
That was the point that I was trying to make. I was trying to say that there would be a fully headless car on the street somewhere.
There's some buses on limited routes doing it in a few places.
Vegas has one. Yeah. Right.
Yep. There's one in Singapore as well, and a few other places.
But yeah, no, I meant more of the regular buzzing around. Although, you know, I'll tell you what, that's another thing that if it weren't for that pesky death out there in Arizona, that might have been further along.
Yeah, no, sadly, that's the case, because Uber, of course, doing its tests in Pittsburgh with safety drivers on board, shut down its experiments there. And it doesn't look like they're going to be bringing them back anytime soon, really.
Yeah, and that came after the death in Arizona where, a bunch of different reasons, the worst possible thing in that scenario happened. So
you got partial for one?
You know, partial for one. No more. From here on out, I'm just going to say somebody's going to release a computer.
Yeah, you could be like Scott and say, like, a product will have a decision.
A computer that's faster.
Yeah, faster than the one before.
That's
my new prediction.
There's going to be a brand new phone screen format that everyone will hate, but it's going to take off like crazy.
Another phone will have the dreaded notch.
Exactly. Yeah.
A new kind of notch.
Will be implicated in a hacking scandal.
a big data breach will stun people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all warming up for tomorrow's prediction show.
Perhaps it'll be a hotel chain you've frequented in the last year.
Perhaps. Or couldn't avoid frequenting because they own so many hotels.
That
well, Sarah Lane, it's time to go back to you. This was your first return to the prediction show in some time. Let's see how you did. Your first prediction, Facebook will build its own HQ-like app.
Now, when I'm talking about HQ, I'm talking about HQ Trivia, which is a year ago was a very big deal. And as many sort of fun game apps go, it has waned in viewership, not in the sense that no one's using it anymore, but it has lost a lot of the viewers that it had before. However, in June, in fact, June 19th of 2018, Facebook said that they were announcing new ways for creators and publishers to create interactive videos, specifically starting with polling for live and on-demand videos, as well as gamification for live videos. With these tools, partners can add a range of new interactive features to videos, such as polls, quiz questions, challenges, and more. It goes on, but in my mind, and you know, call me out if you think I'm wrong, but I think that this was Facebook's way 6 months ago of saying, well, we're not really going to like actually say that we're taking on the idea of HQ Live, but we're going to add these features for anybody who is trying to use Facebook as a platform for video, which of course the company is interested in doing.
I mean, it sounds like they outperformed instead of just doing an app, they did a whole platform.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't know a lot of people who have taken advantage of this in any sustainable way, which, you know, would be monetary, right? And I'm sure there are exceptions, and I'd love to hear about them. But Facebook did clone HQ for this purpose. So I think that my prediction is right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I think that that your prediction almost certainly would have been 100% true, in that Facebook would have went to a production company that currently does games or has done games in the past, so they could make Facebook exclusive content that they would utilize things like this, features like this. But the problem is that they kind of lost a bit of their steam for paying for live content in 2018, at least compared.
You're talking about Facebook losing their steam.
Yes. And so I think these are certainly features that would allow somebody to do it, but it is not Facebook creating their own app in which these games would live, nor is it paying for people who do like content.
Yeah. No, you're right. However, I do think that if the market were hotter for this sort of thing, again, mid-year, this was June.
Yes.
Then it would have been more of a straight-up clone.
Oh, I think 150%. If they were still handing out money for live content and therefore had another 2018 version of targets that they wanted to go to and find what's hot and live, let's pay for that, let's pay for clones, let's pay for other people to do their versions, there is zero doubt in my mind that they would have built a very... custom integrations that would have made an HQ experience very viable on Facebook. Unfortunately, I think their appetite for trying to sell advertising on live video didn't quite reach that point.
Well, what they're doing now is Facebook Watch. That's their new focus.
Yeah.
Facebook Watch, where everybody watches the same thing together, is their way of trying to juice that video and milk that video money pot to mix the metaphors together.
It's very hard to put ads on live video. Unless you are there for a very long time, it's hard to jam a 30-second ad right when you click on, I want to see what's up with somebody live right now. And then you miss 30 seconds of it, so you can see an Aquaman thing. Like, I don't know. That's bad.
Well, I'm going to give it to Sarah, though. Anybody disagree?
I would say partial.
Partial. Justin's only giving you partial. Scott?
I give her a big.
I felt like this was a full, but okay. I'll
give her a full. I think if it's a pie, you get most of the pie.
So like 80%.
Give me the pie, because my next prediction is for sure not part of the pie.
Full point for Sarah.
Because you definitely don't have any pie coming for predicting that Amazon would buy Slack.
I really, okay. So again, we all are Slack users for a variety of reasons, partially for our own stuff, and for, other channels that we're a part of. I'm a big fan of Slack. I've actually become a very big fan of Discord over the last year, and they're not direct competitors. They're good in their own ways, but for that reason, I realize that Slack is not always the best place to, get a lot of people. Anyway, that is neither here nor there. My prediction was that Amazon would buy Slack. That did not happen. In fact, the latest rumor, and this is actually quite recent, Recode actually mentioned that not only Slack, but Airbnb were both going to IPO in the Q1 of 2019. And they would be the direct listings, meaning that it's basically it's the way that Spotify listed itself, which at the time, what was that, a year ago now, was very sort of confusing to people, like, oh, Spotify is not working with the banks traditionally, blah blah blah, whatever. Slack is I don't know. It's a company that I truly thought would be acquired by this time last year, and it was not. So I'm just going to go ahead and eat my crow.
I'll be interested if they do an IPO. Doing a direct listing makes sense. That seems to be the new way to say, you know what? We're not going to sell to people in advance. We're just going to build on the buzz and go right to the market and take the risk. So I'm not surprised if they do it, that would be the way they do it. Microsoft Teams is starting to outpace them, though. And I feel like Slack needs the boost. Maybe the reason Amazon didn't end up buying Slack is Amazon isn't in the productivity software space, right? They're in the enterprise space, but they're not in the productivity software space. And the reason Teams has got such a huge amount of momentum right now is because Microsoft already is in your business with Outlook and Word and Excel. And so they just throw Teams in as part of the package. Boom, you're there.
How would you not call that productivity space, though?
No, that's what I'm saying. Microsoft is in the productivity space. Amazon is not.
Amazon isn't. Amazon doesn't have reps calling companies and saying, hey, can you get on the Amazon suite of blank, unless you're talking about AWS.
Right. So Microsoft Teams is taking off because the Microsoft Teams being the Slack competitor, taking off because Microsoft is in the productivity space. So it would make more sense for Google to buy Slack, since Hangouts really isn't that. But Google doesn't seem to be doing that sort of thing these days. They're not
going down Google Plus, in fact.
Well, and they're not going out and acquiring companies either. Nope. So I feel like Slack, and Stuart Butterfield probably wants Slack to just become its own company and build from there. And he doesn't want to sell it to someone else. If they can get a successful IPO, then, you know, more power to them. I would think otherwise, if they don't IPO, that they probably would get acquired by somebody. But if it's not Google, I don't know who it is.
I mean, Apple?
Salesforce, maybe? Or
Salesforce would be a very interesting.
Oh, yeah, it would be. I could see that.
Apple doesn't acquire companies like this. Everybody's like, Apple should buy Netflix. You know, Apple should buy this. No.
The reason why I would think Apple, and I do think it's different than Netflix. And by the way, considering where Apple is going, the Netflix thing I never thought was nutty beyond the fact that Netflix was too expensive. And there have always been questions.
Well, it made sense on paper. It was just a thing that neither company wanted to do. Netflix didn't want to sell and Apple didn't want to buy, you know, for whatever reason.
The only thing I would think with Slack is Apple is in the productivity space, although not quite in the enterprise level productivity space.
Yeah.
And they could say, hey, look, like, this is just the way that we want you and your small teams that all have Mac laptops are all going to communicate with each other. It would cap Slack's growth potential, but if they're selling, then they're selling.
Amazon, I feel like Apple buys Slack when it's young and unknown and great technology they can get for cheap. That's usually when
Apple's
they
not
stuff.
Buying Slack.
Yeah, I don't think
like that's not. Yeah, yeah. That's my next prediction. We have a show for that, but like
save it for tomorrow.
Yeah,
that prediction. Slack purchased by Apple. There you go.
You know, one of the things I love about doing
been wrong before.
One of the things I love about doing this predictions results show is it really shows you the more things change, the more they stay the same. HQ does not have the buzz it had. Bitcoin does not have the buzz it had last year. Xbox, everyone was talking about Microsoft's going to ditch Xbox last year. That has gone away. But at the same time, Fox buying Disney, that's still a current topic. Driverless cars, you know, and who's going to get there? Still a current topic.
That's Disney buying Fox.
Oh, sorry, Disney buying Fox. But, you know, you get what I mean.
Yeah. I for a second thought you said Disney making cars, and I'm all in on that.
It's just Justin wrote Fox bought by Disney, and it screwed me up. I
if the cars
just
look like the ones
so
from
cute.
No, but do you guys,
yeah,
you guys
great
get big, what I mean? Like there's these things that are like laughable now. Like really, no one's talking about Bitcoin surging. It's the opposite. But then there's these things that you look as if they haven't aged a day.
Yeah, I mean, look, last year at this time, the way that the crypto conversation was going, it felt like a new stock market was emerging. It was the first time that my friends that barely care about tech, right, were talking about cryptocurrency in a way that was and a sophistication that I don't hear them talk about many things. There seemed to be a baseline excitement even beyond the gold rush of you know, oh, we got to get here early. It was like, oh, look, there was a belief in this idea. And Bitcoin is an idea that very much relies on belief and excitement to succeed. And then all of a sudden it goes away. Just like that, it was gone. HQ, similarly, it seemed like, hey, look, trivia's been around forever. This is the new way you do trivia in a televisionless world. And now it's still there. It still has its audience, but there's a few less dilly-dillies in the chat.
We know. Okay, so when, you know, we're talking about driverless cars, this is something that came to mind recently. And again, when we were talking about, like, oh, yeah, Disney. Imagine, if you will, that a driverless car that you're in the back of is following all the legal rules, but do you want the sort of slow and steady in the right lane type of car? Or do you want maybe the, you know, a little bit more aggressive car? Still not legally breaking any rules, but how does that fit into what might be when, like, we're all sitting in the back of, you know, cars that are driving themselves?
Picking a style of driving, you're saying?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, I want as fast as computer.
Well, sure. But what company do you trust to do that? It's kind of an interesting question.
Yeah. Because a lot of this conversation tends to get into the realm of sci-fi that I don't think is necessarily on the immediate trajectory of the technology that kind of necessitates this, like, hive mind that talks to all the cars so all the cars can move at optimal speed. And I don't quite think that we are there yet, nor do I think that city infrastructure spending is going to make such a programmer idea a priority. Now, tech surprises us all, and if that becomes something that can seamlessly communicate between all cars, and that's just something that happens over the next 5 years, then, you know, we'll see. But until that time, I agree with you, Sarah.
All right, I want to do something we haven't done before. Maybe we should do this more often. I'm looking at the 2017 predictions results show. So these are predictions from 2 years ago. These were the 2016 predictions. I'm not even going to tell you who they are, but I just think it's interesting. One was IoT will market itself on AI and collaboration with other Internet of Thing devices.
I don't remember that.
Well, that happened.
I mean, that doesn't even feel like a prediction anymore. It's like, well, of course they do, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a 2016 prediction. Was that it?
That was a prediction made at the end of 2016 for 2017.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Another one. Adobe will produce a fully featured Photoshop for the iPad.
That's happening, though. It's
that
not
is
here,
finally happening. Yeah.
2019 will get it. So, yeah, finally, we're getting it.
Mirai or variation.
Who predicted that, by the way? Was it Scott?
That was Len, actually. Len Perlman.
Oh, was it Len?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Kudos to Len.
Yeah.
All right.
Shannon predicted Mirai or variations of it will cause people in industry to take a closer look at Internet of Things products, consumer focused software to check to see if your Internet of Things products are vulnerable. Ooh. Sort of slow motion is happening where.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, the idea of we are every minute by minute realizing what a bizarre taped together experience our digital lives are, and we are becoming more and more horrified by it. So I am here for her prediction 2 years ago.
And this last one, 2017 will be the year Nintendo comes back.
I was right.
You were totally right. That was you.
Yeah.
That was Scott's. Yeah, that was your grand opus.
I remember that one.
You should paint a beautiful, inspiring vista of that moment in history and hang it in your house.
All right, done. I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for watching or listening. It's a lot of fun to go back and look at these. We will, of course, be making our predictions on tomorrow's show, and then we'll do a look at those again next year. Let's go around the table. Scott Johnson.
Thank you for having me on. I love doing this, and I'm looking forward to whatever 2019 will hold. Hopefully it will match some of the predictions we're going to make on another episode. But if you're interested in following me, just find me at frogpants.com. Everything I'm doing is there, as well as all my daily ramblings on Twitter, where you can find me at Scott Johnson.
Justin Robert Young, great predictions as well. Fingers crossed for you, buddy. Besides those, where can people find all the great work that you're up to these days?
No need to coddle me, Lane. I know an L when I need to eat one. All right.
Justin, I took one too.
I know, we all do. Life makes fools.
That's what prediction shows about.
Exactly.
Taking the ills.
Justin R. Young on Twitter, and God knows if I'll be even doing the podcast that I'm doing by the time the next year rolls around. So who knows?
Sarah Lane, thank you for a full year of Daily Technews Show.
Oh, Tom, thank you.
That's kind of amazing.
I know. It's been a year and a little bit of change, and I hope it's a million more years to come.
Roger Chang, thank you as well for more than a full year on Daily Tech News Show.
Always a pleasure.
And most of all, thanks to the folks who make this possible. We have a few other revenue sources out there, but 98% of our revenue comes from you, the person who supports us directly at patreon.com/DTNS. Thank you for making our year bright.
Thank you so much. We love your feedback. It helps us make our show better and better every day. Please remember to send us feedback at feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 2130 UTC. And you can find out more. Tell a friend. Tell your mom. dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
That's coming January 2nd. Tomorrow, though, the predictions show for 2019.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.